Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Sell Squad podcast, episode 28, How to Manage Chronic Pain Flare-Ups. This episode covers how to deal with chronic pain flare-ups and a three-step process to follow when the pain starts. If you've suffered from chronic pain and injury, you know how scary and debilitating some of these flare-ups can be, how much they affect your mindset, how much they affect your quality of life. And from having these experiences plague my life for over 10 years, I can safely say there's a much better way to handle these. So today I'll go through how to deal with chronic pain flare-ups and give you a three-step process to manage them much more effectively. There's a much broader perspective on managing chronic pain and injury in general, like the bigger picture stuff in terms of like having the right attitude and approach, which is the foundation for anything in life, really, not just for mobility. But on a micro level, we're just going to zoom in here today on actual chronic pain flare-ups, like a three-step process that I use with myself, with clients, when the flare-ups actually happen. And it'll definitely, it'll change the game in terms of dealing with your own flare-ups. And we'll go through a few examples as well. I'll give you a few of my own to show you the difference with it. So the three-step process is understanding pain, step one. Step two, treat it like a flu. Step three, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. So depending on what podcast you might have listened to, you might see there's overlap from some other modules that I've gone through before. So the three steps, understand pain, treat it like a flu. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. So the first point on understanding pain, I've covered this in depth. The best place to learn about pain, which is fundamental if you're trying to get out of pain, you know, you need to understand what it actually is. Go to my YouTube and watch What is Pain and How to Manage It. It's in the physical freedom section. There's like a 40-minute video there breaking it down in so much detail. You'll learn more in that video than your whole life down the healthcare route. And you'll see the biopsychosocial model of pain in there, which has, you know, changed my life and it's changed clients' lives as well. So the deeper dive, that's where you find it. For this newsletter on, you know, sorry, not this newsletter, for this podcast on the pain section, we're going to keep it very brief. Okay, so pain, it's ultimately a protective mechanism for survival. Okay, that's the quick one-liner. What is pain? It's a protective mechanism for survival. So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's damage present. So you can get pain if obviously you get hit by a car, you injure yourself, you break a bone, you tear a muscle or a ligament, but you can also get pain when there's been no damage at all. This is the bending over to tie your shoes, getting pain, or getting out of bed and you've pain, or sitting at your desk and you've pain. There's nothing, there's no damage, but we're still getting the pain signal. So that's the quick thing to realize here is when you get pain, you know, when you get a flare-up, it doesn't actually mean there's any damage or anything like that, because a lot of the times flare-ups actually happen through something random. You know, it could just be, as I said, tying your shoes or doing something where you haven't actually got injured. So another few bits of information on the pain is that like your brain cares about survival, not optimal. So your brain is just trying to keep you alive. That's why we get, you know, like hunger signals, thirst signals, etc. That's why the pain signal is there too. It's all based around just trying to keep you moving around and alive. And chronic pain doesn't even enter the equation. Like the primitive stuff in your brain doesn't even know or care what chronic pain is. Like it's not even entering the equation. So that's why, if you want to learn how to manage this better in your life, you have to do a deep dive and understand what pain is, why this mechanism happens. Because otherwise, like it's just going to stay in these undesirable patterns forever where we have chronic pain. Because the brain, like I said, it's happy enough with it. So three analogies here around the pain that have helped me in my life and helped with clients is when you do get that initial flare up, you can think of it like it's like a driving instructor pulling up the handbrake on you and you're the learner driver. It's just trying to protect you. It's not, you know, you haven't crashed the car or anything, but it's just making sure that you don't. Another one was the overprotective mother. You know, when you're out a bit late and then you come home and your mother grounds you. You know, you didn't do anything massively wrong. You're not in massive danger, but your mother's just trying to protect you. You know, she's trying to do the right thing for you. And then the last one is the fire alarm going off to smoke in the toaster. So it's only toast. There's actually no fire in the house, but the fire alarm is going off because, again, it's trying to protect you. So these are all protective mechanisms, and so is the brain. So it's just, you know, that's why this is the first step, because the main problem is that we, like, catastrophize. Because I've been there so many times as well, is that we catastrophize when the chronic pain flare-ups happen, and this leads into loads of other problems, which we're going to see now in step two. Okay, so, yeah, that's enough for the step one here. Obviously, as I said, if you want the deeper dive, go on to the YouTube video. But we want to get a bit of peace when the flare-up happens through, you know, a little bit of pain knowledge as a bare minimum to understand that, look, we're not fucked. We're going to be okay. You know, it's just a protective mechanism kicking in. So second point then, once we know that, we can start to learn how to treat it like a flu. Okay, so just follow me through this analogy, and again, it'll really open your eyes to it. So like common flu symptoms, I just Googled these to see exactly what came up. Fever, chills, cough, sore throat, runny nose, you know, body aches, headaches, fatigue. Okay, cool. We've all had flus before. So imagine if you didn't know what the flu was. Imagine that. Like, imagine you just wake up one morning, and as the symptoms there, you know, you're feeling a bit sick. You know, you have aches, you have headaches, you know, your body's a bit sore, you know, you're coughing, all this stuff. Like, imagine if you didn't know what that was. You would be freaking the fuck out. I would. Like, you could think you're in your final hour, like the Grim Reaper's coming for you. Like, what is actually happening? We don't know. So, and obviously you'd be calling the doctor, your parents would be freaking out. You'd be like, there's obviously something wrong here. Like, we've never seen this before. He's coughing, he's spluttering, he's feeling really bad, you know. And there'd be a massive ordeal over it. And then, obviously, if the doctor came along, figured out it's just a cold or a flu, he'd be like, look, there was a massive overreaction here. Like, you're going to be fine. Like, this is just something completely normal that happens to everyone. You know, it's not a big deal. So that's what I'm trying to get you to realize here with, like, chronic pain flare-ups, that it's very similar. Like, coming from being the person who catastrophizes, freaks out like the first one, you know, getting the physio, taking the pain meds, you know, taking weeks off training, lying on the couch, all that kind of stuff, to now, I'm actually doing this because my chronic neck pain flared up again, and it's fine, and I'm using this 3-step system to manage it, and I'm actually going back training one arm chin up today when this happened only a few days ago, you know. So I'll run through that at the end once you fully understand the model, but it changes the game with it. So that's what we want to do. We want to learn how to just treat it like a flu. So, like, we know what's happened for a reason. We know it could just take few days, weeks, maybe months, depending on how bad it is, but it's usually just like days to 1 or 2 weeks. We understand it's not a big deal, and that we can still go on and do what we can in the meantime. And you might even still continue on with your full work and training routine. Again, just think of the cold and the flu. There's obviously been times here where a cold and a flu might have knocked you out for a week and you didn't go to work, you called in sick, you weren't training, whatever. And then other times when you've had a flu and maybe it wasn't as bad, or maybe you've learned that it's not a massive deal, I can push through it, or you have to push through because deadlines didn't work, and you went to work, you did a bit of training, whatever, you didn't die, you were fine. A week or two, it was gone and forgotten. So, like, that's actually how you can learn to manage these chronic pain flare-ups over time, to stop the catastrophizing and just treat it as something normal, because it is normal. And as I said, you can learn over time then to see what stuff can you still do depending on how bad the flare-up is. And even as I said there, sometimes you can actually go on and do everything. But we'll get to that in the third point, to like the options to kind of pick for yourself. But the last part around the flu here, which I just mentioned briefly in step one, is that the catastrophizing is one of the biggest issues here. Like, clients would tell me that a lot. We have to go through this and educate them on it, and then the next flare-up that happens, they can handle it so much better. And they're telling me, you know, how different it was, like how different it felt on their mindset, their body, everything, much more empowered way to handle it. Because, again, like I said, I've been there before. So many examples of catastrophizing. The one that always pops into my mind is when I was upstairs. This is years ago now, before I knew any of this stuff, and 10 years of chronic pain, and didn't know what was going on. Googling YouTube videos on stretches for my back because it was tight. End up pulling a muscle in my back. Couldn't stand up straight. Looked like the Hunchback in Notre Dame. Freaking out. Thought I'd broken a part of my back or slipped a disc or whatever. And like, the pain was bad. You know, 8 or 9 out of 10. The long story short there, the physio came in, muscle relaxing pill, did a quick assessment. I just strained a muscle in my back, you know. But through the catastrophizing, and again, if you go watch the pain video in detail on my YouTube, you'll see the biopsychosocial model. Your beliefs, your experiences and emotions around pain have a massive impact on your actual pain. So, like, I wasn't making that up, you know. It'd be pretty tough and resilient, but it was literally 8 or 9 out of 10. It was really scary to me at the time. Yeah, like, you know, it's just, we obviously feel our own pain in those situations. The pain was high, very high. But then, of course, once he told me all this stuff, once I calmed down, the pain went down straight away to about 2 or 3. And, you know, looking back now, I can understand how the psychology part of the biopsychosocial model has such a massive impact on it. So that's what you learn to see over time with the catastrophizing, that it's a slippery slope that only makes things worse. Like, it's tough to get out of. Everyone just slips straight into it. That'll even happen to me for, you know, a few minutes with the flare-ups until I gather myself and, you know, go through all this in my head. But it's such a slippery slope. But when you do get in there, yeah, it's just going down. Like, there's no upside to it. Like, if we think of, I like the phrase, is it a good move on the chessboard of life? And it's not. It's a terrible move because you're like, you're always going to lose. Like if you catastrophize with chronic pain or with anything in life, really, it's never a good move in your life. So it's obviously something worth like training yourself out of, like training yourself to not just slip and slide down that catastrophizing route, because we've all been there. It just does not help. So, and like even, I'll give you a small bit more information on it there as well. Just in terms of, let's say, the mindset side of it, the mental freedom side of it that helped me in general life. Like what happens when we catastrophize? The analogies are great here. Think of it like a poker game, okay? We're all playing poker here. When you catastrophize, it's literally like you just got the chips and you push them all in. So you've made a normal situation, like you have all your chips, you could have just put in one or two, like everything's calm, there's no big crazy situation here. But you've just put your hand there on the chip and you've pushed all the chips into the middle. Like you've made a normal situation into like a life or death one in your head. And of course, what's going to happen now? You're going to get the accompanying emotions of a high stakes situation, which is anxiety, worry, fear. This is from evolution. Like when we're in a high stakes situation, that's how we should feel for evolutionary reasons, to make sure that we're focused and we're ready to deal with this. So the poker analogy helped me a lot there, because that's what we do. think of any situation. Oh, I just got fired in work. Oh, my life's over. I'll never be hired again. I'll never get another job again. Like, that's not true. There's loads of jobs out there. You'll be able to find a different, or with a partner. Someone broke up with me. I'll never get another partner. No one will love me again. And that's not true either. You know, but, and same with chronic pain. Oh, flare up there. I'll never get over this chronic pain. You know, I'll never get back to my sport. Again, like in all those situations, something has happened. But what have we done? We've mentally pushed all the chips into the middle and we've made this into a life or death situation when it's actually not. So that's why when we do that, so the slippery slope is pushing the chips into the middle. When we do that, we are going to get the accompanying emotions of high stakes situations, anxiety, fear, worry, etc. And in terms of chronic pain, that only actually makes the pain worse. So that's why it's, you know, important to know about pain, important to know even about catastrophizing, like what's actually happening in the brain. So once we learn all this, it helps us to just step back and step out of that, like get out of the slippery slope and see, yeah, it's not the end of the world. I'm more educated on it now, and I know how to manage it. Yeah, so I think that's probably enough for the flu. And obviously, yeah, just the final word I had on it there was, when we learn to treat it like the flu, it enables us to lower the stakes. We can see it for what it really is, and we can take back control of the situation in an empowering way. And then on to step three. So once we've done that, we have done step one, so we understand the pain. You know, it doesn't mean we're fucked. It's just the protective signal. Then the step two, we learn how to treat it like a flu. Then the step three, so if you can't do what you want, do what you can. So I love this frame. I think I actually did a podcast on it recently enough. But definitely, you've seen me talk about it on Instagram. It's a frame I use for so many things in life, because it just flips your mindset straight away and gets you focusing on the empowering things that you can do instead of, you know, catastrophizing, worrying about these things that you can't do. But yeah, it's very useful, obviously, for flare-ups. That's why I have it in here as well, because as I'm saying, this frame, it just trains us to focus on the opportunity within the obstacle. So instead of sitting here thinking, or even, like, I'll break it down if you've heard this for the first time. So if you can't do what you want, that's the first part. The second part is do what you can. Okay, so if you can't do what you want, do what you can. And the if you can't do what you want part, that's the obstacle. The do what you can part, that's the opportunity. Okay, so that's why that line is amazing. It's just so catchy. It sticks in your head and it's very empowering. So we'll just know instantly, if I can't do what I want, do what I can. It'll point you in the right direction towards the empowering option. So that's what we're going to do with chronic pain. Like, even I'll run through some of my recent examples. Like, we'll have two torn meniscus in my knees from jiu-jitsu. Love doing jiu-jitsu. When that happened, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. Couldn't do jiu-jitsu for kind of 3 to 6 months the first time it happened. What can I do? I could strength train towards my goals, and I could actually do different martial arts. I wasn't at the time, but that's what I thought when I went through this model. I'm like, what can I do? I love jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is a martial art. Could I maybe try other martial arts now that I have the free time? And I started kickboxing because I love watching UFC, and I found out that I actually love kickboxing too, and I'm still doing it now a year later. So I actually wouldn't be doing kickboxing if that injury didn't happen. So you can see how this model, it just opens you up to so much more opportunities that you wouldn't have had before. So that's what I did in that example. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. And I'm back at jiu-jitsu now, but as you can see there, I'm still doing kickboxing too, because I actually found out that I enjoy it too. So anything else we'll go through today? Oh yeah, sorry, if you can't do what you want, do what you can't. There's usually like three layers to it. Okay, so when we get a flare up, when we get that pain and we have to just reassess, like, what am I actually going to do this week in terms of my training? The first layer of it is you can continue training as usual. You know, that's kind of like the treatment like the flu. You found out, excuse me, it's actually not that bad. You know, I can continue while obviously just being a bit mindful about the injury and not irritating it any further. That'll take a bit of testing. So that's the first layer. You can just continue training on as usual, being a bit mindful of the injured area and maybe, you know, lowering the weights a small bit or whatever it is. Second layer down then is you can't just continue normal training, so you have to modify your training. So this could be, I suppose my neck, I'll come around to that at the end, like my neck flared up there recently. It's an old chronic pain that, you know, I manage pretty well, but yeah, maybe once every 6 months or something, if I really push myself in training, it just flares up. And yeah, that's what happened recently. So in these situations, or actually just say what happened there, like I couldn't do jiu-jitsu, so I didn't go to jiu-jitsu that evening. It happened when I was doing weighted pull-ups, so just when I was doing something a bit more intense, I just felt it on one of the sets, and then later on it got a lot worse, which I'll explain at the end, just to bring it to a real-life one. So, didn't do jiu-jitsu that day, didn't go to the gym the next day, because this was actually a pretty bad flare-up, so as I said, there's different levels to it, but then it actually went, pain went massively down on the second day, and I actually trained on the third day, I believe, trained decent leg session. Yeah, feeling good and fine. So you can see there, I had to actually not just modify my training, but even stop training some things. So that's the three levels was keep training as usual. Second one was modify your training. Third one was stop training completely. So I suppose I didn't actually modify it. I did actually stop training completely for 1 to 2 days. And then I was able to pick it back up. But on the modifying, that would be something like, let's say if I hurt my neck, but then I still trained lower body on that day. Okay, so obviously to me, it was a bit worse than that. I didn't want to train on that day. I probably would have made it worse. So I waited the day or two for it to calm down. Yeah, so I think we've covered everything there. The last thing I had on the if you can't do what you want, do what you can was when you focus on what you can do, you're empowered no matter what happens. That's the whole point of it, because I wanted to figure out ways where no matter what injuries happen, because I've come from the background of so many chronic pain injuries, given up sports I love to do many times, I always wanted to just figure out a way that I wouldn't feel like shit, that I wouldn't be missing the sport, that I wouldn't just be sitting on the couch doing nothing and wishing, oh, this is the time I used to do X, Y, Z, and this was the way out of it. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. And no matter what happens, it's always empowering. Like, take it to the extreme, and I've said this many times and I mean it. If I'm in a car crash tomorrow, God forbid, and my fucking legs come off, what does that mean? That means more time for one-arm chin-up training. That means I'll probably get it that day. Because I'm 75 kg, I probably only weigh 30, 40 something, and I can nearly do them with my full body weight. So like, there you go. Like, or even if, you know, you're in a hospital bed and you can't do anything, cool. It's more time to learn stuff, isn't it? To read books, to watch whatever, to more time with family, like whatever it is. You know, this is wisdom from the past, from all the people in terrible situations that we couldn't even comprehend. This is the kind of mindset that they have. Like, no matter what happens, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. But then, yeah, I'll wrap it up with my neck issue there, because I'd already kind of weaved in the back issue from before and, you know, catastrophizing, freaking out, high pain levels, physio coming over, taking pills, lying on the couch, all that kind of stuff, catastrophizing, like I've been on that slippery slope for 10 years before. Bring that all the way up to this, the neck issue, only last week. So as I said, I was doing weighted chin-ups, felt it on the last set. It's usually when things are a bit more high intensity and if it's a bit of a snap. Like I would have done like a powerful pull from the bottom. So sometimes if there's just like powerful movements, my neck, yeah, it just locks up. So that's what happened. It wasn't too bad in the session with adrenaline, different things, but I felt it and I thought, oh, here we go. Not sure how bad it's going to be, but we'll find out later on. So I thought it was one of the ones that wasn't that bad. But then I went home, you know, cooled down, showered, ate, started doing a bit of work again. But then, yeah, within probably an hour of being at home, I couldn't look to the left or the right. So, you know, and it's just, I want to talk you through it so you can just see like how bad they can seem in the moment and how this can actually be normal. That was the truth. I actually just like, my neck just suddenly felt, or I suddenly became aware how tight my neck was when I zoned out from my work. And then I just kind of tried to do a few movements and I pained. and very restricted movement. And even I remember trying to look to the left, couldn't really look to the left that much, couldn't really look to the right that much, or up or down. So, and you know, it's like, it's fun. I'm kind of giggling now because if that happened to me 10 years ago, I would think I've broken my neck. Or, you know, I'd nearly be in tears. I'd just be like, what is happening? Why is this stuff happening to my body? Like, I just don't understand it. Because I mightn't have even, I probably wasn't even training back then because of the pain. And I'm just like sitting around the house and stuff. And then that's actually what would happen. Sometimes I might look to the left quickly or look to the right quickly. And my neck would just cramp up and lock. You know, and I'd be like, I'm not even training. Like, I don't even, like, what? Is my body so like fragile and weak? Like, I don't understand what's happening here. So, yeah, Jesus brings it back there when I start talking out loud about them. But now, I understand it. Like, it's this three-step thing. I understand the pain. Pain is a protective mechanism. Doesn't mean I'm fucked. I haven't broken my neck. Like, I know from the session, because I listened to my body, the protective mechanism just went off. Like, think of it from the brain's point of view. The brain is, it's like a man in a dark cave. Okay, a bit of a weird one, but it's helped me too. The brain is just a man in a dark cave. The only information it has is your five senses and then your previous experiences and memories. So that man in a dark cave, what's his experiences and memories? 10 years of chronic pain in my neck. Lots of pain around my neck. And then it's obviously, he's obviously learned to calm down around all that through all my mobility and my understanding of pain, etc. But the very odd time, he'll freak out a bit and go, just watch your neck. Remember, your neck used to be soiled. And I'm like, watch your neck. And he'll protect me. He's just pulling up the handbrake around my neck to kind of remind me, like, look, geez, take it easy on the neck there. And it could have been for lots of reasons. Maybe I wasn't fully recovered. Maybe I didn't have as much sleep as I should have. Or, you know, we'll never exactly know. But that's the stuff that helps me in the moment. It's like, oh, okay, the brain, you know, fuck it, it's annoying and all that stuff. And a bit of frustration, of course, and I let that out. But then it's like, oh, look, the man in the cave protected me. That's it. Cool. You know, as Musashi says, you have to just face the truth. You know, face the truth. If you don't just bend to the will of the truth, you're going to live a lie and be frustrated. So, like, the quicker you can face the truth, the quicker that annoyed feeling of frustration, everything will just dissipate. So, I can get myself there pretty quick now through the understanding of pain, through understanding, like, this isn't a massive deal. I've been here before and I'd manage it. On to step two, treat it like a cold or a flu. And that's what I do. Like, obviously, I had the 5-10 minutes of frustration, whatever, and then I see what movements can I do. Can I help my neck a little bit with some movements that I know help me when these things happen? And then I go on about my day. I kept working, kept doing my other things. And yeah, like I said, I didn't train jiu-jitsu that evening, or I didn't go training again the next day. But that's what it is. Treated like a flu, kept doing my work, kept doing what I could. And yeah, we've kind of got into step three there. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. But it was kind of the third layer. It actually was pretty bad. Like, the pain was pretty bad. It was kind of like low, kind of 3-4 level pain constantly. And then, like, when I did try to look left or right, like, that could go up to 7, 8, 9. No, I'd say 6, 7, 8, kind of on the pain scale. So, well, it was a bad one. And the low level pain in the background is just annoying then when you've kind of got over that and, you know, you're used to not having that and then it comes back. So, yeah, I was able to not get onto that slippery slope, like I was saying, through that three-step process. And then through doing all that, like I said, you'll just be amazed. Like, that's why I'm always saying, go watch that pain video on YouTube. I put all the information in there for you. Because on the third day then, when, like, day one was bad, day two was bad, and I drove home with my brother and, you know, I had to explain it to him because even in the car and stuff, like, I couldn't really turn to look at him. So I just explained, he knows about these chronic pains, or, you know, even then in the sitting room at home and stuff, like, when someone comes in, I wouldn't really look at them because I'm like, you know, my neck is fucking sore. But then, yeah, I think it was day three, he came down, it was the neck. And I was like, oh, actually, geez, it must be a lot better. I've actually forgotten about it, you know. So it's just mad how pain can be so bad, can drop down. Like, it's just a signal. It's just a protective mechanism, protective signal. It doesn't indicate actually, like, how much damage there is or isn't there. Okay, so it's just massive to understand that. And then, yeah, that day, train lower body, grand. And, you know, going on, and I'm training one arm chin up stuff today. So, yeah, it's like, you could say it's lingering a small bit there. I haven't got exact, well, no, I actually do. I'm just doing it. I'm looking fully left, looking fully right, up, down. Yeah, maybe down and up isn't fully back yet. But yeah, I'm like 80, 90% back. Continue to kind of treat it like the flu, doing what I can, and I should be back to full, full training this week. So that's it. So yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Look, that's spent long enough on that one. So in the three ways that I can help you, then we've got the Physical Freedom Program first. So that's obviously a module from the Education Hub that we're chatting through today. So this is about overcoming chronic pain and injury, being able to reach your athletic potential. And even there, I was just looking through some client stuff. If you're interested, if this is resonating with you, click on the link, you know, read through the client testimonials, read through how the program works. Click on the application form there. If you're just sick of chronic pain and injury, don't want to settle for it anymore. Even in terms of flick over here to the client page, I won't obviously be throwing out names here, but yeah, there's people coming back from nerve injuries from Gaelic football, like they're back at Gaelic, it's much better. They're working out in the gym as well. You know, if someone who was in Asia working on back pain as well, getting back to hurling, he's back playing hurling now, feeling much better with it. There's someone in America coming back from Maisonneuve fracture. We're way ahead of the recovery timeline from all the stuff in the Physical Freedom Program. There's a new triathlon guy in here with hip issues, knee issues. He's already seen some of the benefits now, just a couple of weeks in, a few of the early small gains, understanding why through the education and that he's on the right path. And who, pick one more, jiu-jitsu guy here. And yeah, new jiu-jitsu guy who's a bit older, finally feeling a bit like the Tin Man. Can see now that he can improve a lot of this through his mobility, and he's just started his journey and seen a few of the small benefits too, which is great. So there you go. Look, if that's resonating with you, what I like to, like, chronic pain and injury, it's a choice. Like, if you settle for chronic pain and injury, that's a choice. It's not a predetermined destiny, you know, because I've been there for 10 years. I did settle for it, but once you decide, look, I'm not going to settle for this anymore, follow the results, you're going to be able to overcome it. And obviously manage it then whenever things pop up in the future, like they have with me in that example. Other courses then, the Mental Freedom course, and this is to stop looping and suffering and skillfully navigate your own mind. Lifestyle Design University, third one then, that's where we avoid the biggest regret of humanity and learn how to design the life true to ourselves. So to follow or contact me, website is the best place to get all the information. You can see the documentary there as well if you haven't already. For email, guywhodidn'tsettle@gmail.com. Or get me on Instagram. Most active on Instagram. Be on there every day, putting up content and yeah, in the DMs, chatting to people. So either send me an email or send me a DM on Instagram. So that's it. Stay settled, live true to yourself, and we'll talk to you next week.